home, family, the church in Rialto. We love you, Brother Booker. Have your liberty here tonight.
You're a good man. I love this. Praise the Lord, everybody. How many love Jesus tonight? Isn't he awesome? He is so awesome. You may be seated. I want to say it's so good. So very, very, very good to be here, be in service with you. I said that this morning, but I mean it more tonight. And you have to, it's not enough just to visit New Life, Birmingham. You got to experience this place. And those that have know exactly what I'm talking about. You are beautiful people. You love Jesus. And one time I read something somebody said about us who worship him in spirit and truth, etc. And I told somebody, they said, I doubt that Jesus ever acted like that. And the answer was, maybe he didn't, but everybody he touched did. Yeah, everybody he touched did. Amen. And it's still that way. It's still that way. I want to say so good to be here. We love so much Brother and Sister Sutton. We love their kids, their daughters, their son-in-laws. And the hand of God is on all of them. Brother Collins, you do a great job. I don't know where you are, but I love you. There he is. God bless him. Doing a great, great, great job. And we're just so happy. And I want everybody to do me a favor, if you don't mind. When Dawson gets back, everybody go up to him one at a time. Take about 6 weeks to do it. And say, boy, you missed it bad. I like Dawson. He'll appreciate that. Praise God. Now, I've been asked several times about my granddaughter, Tristan. And something has to please if I could give a little update here. And I know that this church has been praying, and so many people have told me they've been praying. Anyway, I'll just put it into a nutshell. I think it was 6 or 7 weeks ago, something like that. She shouldn't have, but her and another girl went out in front of the Sunday school bus. Don't ever do that. But they were going across the street because there were some kids over there that wanted to ride the bus. You always go to the end of the street or pull a bus around. But there was a man who was 4 times over the drunk limit who ran a stop sign, and the police said he was going between 50 and 70. And he hit Tristan, a doctor, 93 feet through the air, and she landed on her head. And everybody figured the ambulance, the police, when they were called, and they honestly figured that she was gone. And we didn't know for a while how bad it was. And so at one point in the ER room with my son Philip, her dad, holding her hand, he'd sob, then he'd wipe his face, he'd turn back, or she was out of it. He'd say, you're going to be all right, baby. It's going to be all right. Then he'd turn this way and sob. They finally had to go out because there were 32 people in the emergency room working on her. I've never heard of anything like that in the room, doing something, 32 people from the hospital staff. So the bottom line, when the first time she came out from under a sedation that they didn't think she would be coming out, she comes up out of it. They did know that there was response in her brain. They did know that. They knew that she could wiggle her foot, and they didn't know how extensive, but she comes up out of it, and she begins singing. The first time she spoke, "There's a miracle in this place." She's singing the song, "There's a miracle in this place." And she got out, she went to therapy to where she could get out of a wheelchair and into the bed and back, into a car and back. So that's when they allowed her to go home. And her mind is perfect. They figured her pelvis would be shattered. They thought it would be pulverized. It had two cracks in it. They thought her insides would be like jelloed. Everything's intact. They figured her aorta valve would burst. It was large, but it went back down on its own. They figured she would be damaged, perhaps. No control over her mind, etc. None of that happened. None of that happened. None of it happened. And Loma Linda University is a very large hospital. University Hospital is very large. We have many people that work there, several people that work there. And they tell us she became known throughout the whole hospital, the Miracle Girl. And one major trauma doctor, that's her field, is trauma, basically stated that they've known of people with 20% less than what happened to her, 20% less of damage, of being hit or falling, would be either dead, totally incapacitated, or quadriplegic. None of that. And this trauma doctor said, "All I can tell you is that little girl's guardian angel got the snot beat out of it." So that was her words, praise God. So we're thankful to God for his great, great mercies. And she did have to go. She's had to undergo three procedures. Yes, amen. 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 She's had to undergo three procedures. They just did one this week, and they stopped up two tiny little leaks of the brain fluid. And they said, "We really honestly believe that's it." And so she's going to begin walking, getting back her strength, walking 25% of her weight, 50% of her weight, 75% of her weight, all of her weight, they believe, next week. So thank you for your prayers, and God's big, and God's mighty, and he's powerful. But I'm gonna close that part with this. When my son, who's now the pastor, Joel Booker, was explaining to the church, they knew a lot of it, but when he really broke it down, everything, and people were just rejoicing. In a minute, he said, "Now, folks, listen closely." He said, "We could be having a funeral today. But if we were, God's still great. God's still mighty. God's still awesome. He's still powerful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever." And he said, "There are people under the sound of my voice in this church. You're here because God healed you of cancer. There's people here, God healed your heart trouble. There's people here, God healed your diabetes. And there are people that are in heaven from this church that have died of cancer and died of problems. But God is still the same. He's still God. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty." Amen. So simply put, it pays to live for Jesus. Pays. It pays. It pays. Now, I'm going to ask us to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. And we're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. And we're going to go to verse 26. 1 Chronicles, it's the very end. Just before 2 Chronicles, it's the last chapter. 1 Chronicles 29 and 26. I'm excited about being back Wednesday night. God's good to us, and I'm really, really, really happy to be here. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 26. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Please note, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, they're written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. So when you read 1 Samuel, it is probably those three men. Verse 30, with all his reign and his might and the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the countries. Now, before we're seated, we're going to pray. I'm not being melodramatic. I mean it. I'm really not. But when we pray tonight, I would like for everybody, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, I'd like everybody to pray along these lines. Jesus, please. I know you've talked to me in the past or I wouldn't be here. But Jesus, if you've ever talked to me, please talk to me tonight. Let's do it. Jesus, talk to us, each and every one of us. Talk to me tonight. Talk to every man, every woman, every young person, every child. God, from the eldest among us to the youngest, Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear, hearts to fathom, and souls to receive, spirits that will embrace. God, your word, your plan, your purpose, and your will, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. You may be seated. In the remarks that I'm about to make, I promise, I'm really not putting in a plug for the two books that I've wrote on David. I did not bring any books to sell, so I'm not putting in a plug for that. You can listen to them if you go to audible.com, but be that as it may. When I wrote those books years ago, I wrote them from the perspective of how other people saw him. Nowhere in it did I try and get inside of his head, but I did try to get inside of the head of the people that were his contemporaries, both in his prior to becoming king or up to the time he became king, and then at the time he took Jerusalem, the latter half of his life. So in doing that, I viewed him, as the chronicles say, in his times, the kingdom of Israel, and the kingdoms around him, and the world that he lived in. Some of the people's lives that we looked at, of course, was King Saul. We looked at him through the eyes of Saul's daughter, Michal. We looked at his life through the prophet Nathan. Even through Bathsheba, We looked at him through his grandfather Ahithophel, Abishai, Joab, Solomon, and a veritable host of others. Now, to say that David was loved is without question. And to say that he left a long, huge shadow in the Word of God is without saying. The only name that is found more often than the name of David's is the name of Jesus. If you wonder how large a shadow he leaves, when you consider that Abram/Abraham, both those names combined in that great father of the faithful, this man who cast such a shadow that before it ever happened, he said, count the sands of the sea or the stars of the heavens, and that's how many kids I'm going to give you, seed. And so between the sands of the sea of Israel and the stars of the heaven, the earthly people of Israel and the heavenly people of the kingdom of heaven, the church, this man's name is found less than 300 times. David's name is found over 1,300 times. That people loved him, stood in awe of him, is without question. The Bible says that the king of Lebanon, Hiram, was ever a lover of David. The Bible tells us about Hushai the Archite, who was the king's friend. And the Bible speaks of three mighty men. These are just a tiny few. That one time when they were surrounded by Philistines in the realm, in the area of Bethlehem, somewhere outside of Bethlehem, surrounded by a host, all David did was sigh. He's talking to himself. He's not issuing one command at all. He's wishing nothing, hoping nothing. He's longing, but he's not expecting anything. He just kind of sighs and said, oh, for a drink of the water of the wells of Bethlehem, the wells from which he used to drink when he was a boy and he was a shepherd. There were three of his mighty men. All they needed to hear was the sigh. These men hazarded their lives. They broke through enemy lines. They retrieved a cup of water from the well of Bethlehem. They made their way back through the lines and handed it to him. And he was astounded. I would use the word appalled. He was blown away. And he said, I can't drink this. You hazarded your blood. It'd be like drinking the sacrifice of your blood. So he said, Lord, accept this as a sacrifice to you. And he poured it out on the ground. And the Bible says, of all the mighty men, including Joab, including Abishai, nobody ever attained unto the height of those three men. They were that special. So he was loved, admired, adored, that without question. However, and you need to know this in your process of living for God, there are people that will love you. Amen. But you need to know this, that if they loved you as much as they loved David, there's also people that will not be excited about you living for God. And in the process of just trying to please God, there are going to be people that get mad at you. Not everybody liked David. And Jesus said, amen, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. That means that's the domain he loves the most. Amen, he's the King of Kings, but his special domains, like the House of Windsor. Windsor is their special domain. And so his special domain is, I'm the Prince of Peace. But the Prince of Peace said, don't think I've come to bring you peace. And the righteousness of God, the Holy Ghost brings righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, I've come to set a man at aught Basically, with friends and family, you'll have enemies in your own household if you live for Jesus, if you live for me. So there were people that hated him. Amen. King Saul, that he hazarded his life for many times, saved his kingdom more than once. King Saul tried to kill him and hunt him. His own son, Absalom, that he loved, sought about to kill his father, and a host of others hated him even unto death. David was misunderstood. He was lied about, haunted, hunted, despised, and betrayed. How many enemies he had, he said in Psalm 69, 4 and 5, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. That they would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Well, this is what he did towards his enemies. Then I restored that which I took not away. I did my best. Whatever the problem was, I did my best to try and restore whatever the problem was. I didn't take nothing away, but I tried to fix it, is what he's saying. And so he had more enemies outside of him than he had hairs on his head. And as if that was not enough, he had to contend with himself. Welcome to life. He said in Psalms 40, for innumerable, that means without number, evils have compassed me about. I've got more enemies, evils round about me than I've got hairs on my head. But then he said, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They, mine iniquities, they are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. So here's a man that's saying, I got more enemies out round about me than I've got hairs on my head. And he said, but it gets worse. I've got more iniquities within me than I have hairs on my head. So he's in a bind. You got the picture? He's in a bind. And yet God said of that man, he's a man after mine own heart. Now that's trippy. Now but here's three things about David that's pretty mind-boggling. One, I'm sure there were people before David that told God that he loved him. I know they were there somewhere, but in recorded scripture, David was the first human being we have record of telling God he loved him. He's the first one in scripture that we have record of telling God he loved him. Secondly, he's the first one in scripture to say thank you. I'm not saying Job didn't say thank you. I'm certainly not saying Abraham didn't say thank you. I know that Jacob came close. He said, I'm not worthy of the mercy and the truth which you have shown me. But technically, to say thank you, David was the first recorded. And the other thing was that prior to David, many times, and we have glimpses of people praising him highly, but I'm going to tell you, prior to David, many times God had to proclaim his own goodness. I am the Lord. I am gracious. I am kind. I am a God of mercy. I'm this, I'm that. I am. He's doing this. But when you get to David, amen, David takes the words out of his mouth. You don't have to do it, God. I'll take over from here. He is gracious. He is good. He is awesome. He is wonderful. He is, as my heart pants after, as the heart pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. David took on praise to God. Amen. God didn't have to talk about his greatness. David said, step aside, I'll do it. Now, that's not 100% accurate, but it's vastly accurate. So God said, I see that in him. I know the enemies without and the enemies within, but I see a heart that wants to live for me. So please note this. When you consider iniquities and humanities that war against him. Now, I'm just going to stop here. Don't you know that made the devil mad? Because the devil was created perfect. He was created holy. He was created in light. He was created, amen, when he came into being, he's worshiping God. And the devil couldn't live for God in heaven. And he was made perfect. One day, iniquity was found in him. Apparently, just one. Pride. Pride. And it turned him into the lowest devil, taking him to the lowest hell. Whereas David and you and I, we're conceived in sin. We're shaping in iniquity. We've never seen God. We've never been to the glory world. We've got enemies without. We've got enemies within. And the devil didn't want to live for God, and he had all that. And so when David said, I'm living for God, don't you know that drove him crazy? We know it drove him crazy when Job did it. And it makes him go crazy when you do it. Because you're doing what he couldn't do in heaven. So regardless of David's traumas, dramas, problems, without, within, it did not matter what anybody, please listen, anybody thought or anything anyone said. It didn't matter what anyone did or even how stupid or bad he himself had been. David never, ever quit praying. He never quit singing. He never quit writing his songs. He never quit giving his prophecies. He never quit loving God's word. He never quit loving the kingdom. He never quit serving his God. He never quit trying. He never gave up. I said he never gave up. So I'm going to give you the title of what I want to preach about tonight. Here's the title. You ready? Nobody is driving me out of the God business. No. It don't matter how many enemies outside, how many enemies inside. Nobody's driving me out of the God business. And somewhere, someplace, everybody's got to cross that river. I'm in this for the long haul. It don't matter that I got problems. It don't matter the situations. It don't matter that I'm not so hot. Nothing's driving. I'm not driving myself out of the God business. Nobody's going to drive me out of the God business. I'm God, you're stuck with me. I'm not leaving. Now, I will tell you that David was not the first guy to think that. Amen. Understand, we've already mentioned him. Job, somewhere, he crossed the river. It didn't matter if he lost all of his possessions, all of his flocks, all of his herds, all of the servants that watched him, all of his children, all of his friends, all of his health, the loss of esteem. Somewhere, Job said, ain't nobody driving me out of the God business. If God himself kills me, I'll still trust you. But nothing, nobody, nowhere, no way is going to drive me out of the God business. Somewhere, Joseph made up his mind. If my brethren hate me, if they despise me, if they eventually throw me in a pit, talk about selling me, if Ishmaelites, apparently he thought they sold him to the Ishmaelites, if they come and fetch me out and they sell me to the Midianites and the Midianites sell me to the Egyptians and the Egyptians sell me to Potiphar and Potiphar makes me a slave, hey man, I'm going to work, I'm going to be right, ain't nobody driving me out of the God business, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to be true to God, I'm going to be righteous. And so when Potiphar's wife makes the move on him, he says, no. So he got a payday for that. Went to prison. She lied on him. And he could have gotten that prison and got bitter. But he said no.
I'm in this prison. And there's Harold the rat. And my cell's dirty. But I ain't gonna live like this. Harold, you ain't running me out of the God business. Nasty Straw, you're not running me out of the God business. In fact, he chases out Harold. He cleans up his cell. He gets everything tidy. Amen. He keeps going until he gets so nice. One day the warden comes by and says, your cell's better than my office. Come here and help me. And the Bible says one thing after another until eventually the Bible says whatsoever was done in that prison, he was the doer of it. He was like the under warden. This man. And so he interprets a dream for a baker. He interprets a dream for the butler. Amen. The baker, he hangs. The butler, he goes back to Pharaoh's house. And the last thing, his words to Joseph was, I will never forget you. Yeah. Amen. And he forgot him. I wonder how many days he got ready to meet Pharaoh. The first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That turkey forgot me. He could have backslid. He could have got bitter. He could have got out of the God business. But he said, no, I've come too far. Ain't nothing driving me out of the God business. And after 2 years, a day came, and in one fell swoop, God takes him from prison, and by the time the sun sets, he's the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. Somewhere you got to make up your mind. There ain't nothing going to drive me out of the God business. Hallelujah. Amen. If your name is Simon Peter and you fuss with your fellow disciples because of pride, you got a sick mother-in-law, thank God Jesus healed her. You got your own personal case of foot and mouth disease. One day, Jesus calls you Satan and says, get behind me, you devil! You don't savor the things of God, the things of men. And then if one day, after strong affirmations that you will go to prison with Jesus, you will die with him, out of your mouth, third time denial, are filthy curse words. And while you're cussing, you hear the rooster crow that he told you you would hear. And he goes out and he weeps bitterly. But I'm going to tell you something. He was still with the disciples. They were all licking their wounds. He was probably huddled down in a corner. And on this day, there was not a one of them talking about who was the greatest. They all knew they were in Turkeyville. And a wild-eyed woman, Mary Magdalene, comes rushing in. Hey! He's alive! And he said for me to come, or the angel said for me to come tell you. And I'm telling you, you hear me? He's alive! Oh, by the way, Peter, he told me to tell you especially, he's alive. How did he get that news? Because he was still with the disciples. In spite of his failures, in spite of all the problems, he said, no, nothing's driving me out of the God business. Nothing's going to drive me out of the God business! Now, I'm about to bring up some names. I was born in 52, towards the latter of the year. That sounds like the Ancient of Days. I never thought I'd live to be 30. Now I'm 66. Is there anybody here that remembers Montgomery Ward besides me? Oh, happy day. There must be 6, 7 of you. Well, Montgomery Ward used to be a big dog on the block. They had thick catalogs. They had stores all through this nation. They went out of business. Anybody ever drive a Studebaker? Whoa. That struck a nerve. Anybody know what a Studebaker was? Somebody said, it's something you drive. Studebaker went out of business. Packard was the big dog on the block. They went out of business. Let's try this one. How about Oldsmobiles? Getting a little warmer. Ooh, you got a young church, brother. You got a young church. Young church. Oldsmobiles went out of business. Did anybody know Kmart? It's on its way out. Anybody know JCPenney? It's on its way out. Anybody hear Sears? It's on its way out. Someday they'll all be out of business. Sears would have been a long time ago if it hadn't gotten into other businesses. Someday, if the Lord tarries, listen to me. I don't believe it. I remember when Sears was the big bad dog in the nation. I remember telling my wife in 1973 when we got married. When I married her, she moved to Bartlesville. She gave up her job at Sears. I said, someday Sears will be out of business. She said, oh, honey. I said, it will. Well, it's happening. You won't believe this. Someday it'll be Walmart. Someday it'll be Bank of America. Someday it'll be Chase. Someday it'll be Amazon. And I know you don't want to believe this, but someday it'll be Google. And as we know it and understand it, someday it'll be the United States government. Someday it'll be Russia. Someday it'll be China, as we know it. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a nation that ain't going out of business. That's Israel. And the reason Israel ain't going out of business is not because they're a bunch of angels, but God said, I got an old man named Abraham, and I will never forget him. And I'll tell you something else that ain't going out of business. The Church of the Living God is not going out of business. Oh, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And he's going to have a church even to the end of the age. The gates of hell will not prevail. So, you got to make up your mind. Church is going to be here. Well, guess what? I'm not getting out of the church business. I'm not getting out of the God business. And for those here locally, I'm not getting out of the New Life business. You hear me? I'm not getting out of business. If there ever was a typification by way of a man, it would be the Apostle Paul, the Gentile church. If he wrote Hebrews, he wrote over half the New Testament books. This Apostle Paul, who said, this is the reason I found mercy, that I might show forth a pattern to all them hereafter that would live on Christ Jesus. But this man who at one time was not even trusted by the other disciples, that he was a disciple, and he had problems. 2 Corinthians 11, he said, let me tell you about it. Here's some of the hairs on my head. I had labors more abundant. I had stripes above measure. Prisons more frequent. Deaths oft. Of the Jews, just the Jews alone, I received 5 times. I received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I spent in the deep. I've been in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren. I've been weary. I've been in pain. I've been in watchings often. I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. I've been in fastings. I've been cold. I've been naked. And besides all those things which are without, he would write to the Romans, in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And he also said, in me comes upon me daily the care of all the churches. But he would also look at some Ephesian elders one day and say, none of these things move me. Hallelujah. Neither count my life dear to myself. I'm going to finish my course with joy. What he means is nothing's driving me out of the God business. My mind is made up. Nothing's driving me out of the God business. Now, my father, my stepfather, I talked about this morning, he was not a Christian. And by way of theological thinking, he was more into Eastern religions, not by action, but by reading, etc. He picked up some of the books when he was in the Korean War, and he read too many of them. So he had them in his house, and I would study them. Years later, when I came into the truth, I did quite a study on Hinduism. And one of the tenets of Hinduism, which is actually really, it's a very dark world, but it made a statement that astounded me, and I didn't know quite what to do with it for quite a while. They say a tenet of their belief is all disappointments are based on our egos. If we are disappointed, it's because our ego has been hurt. And I had to chew on that a long time. And I realized it's not true. There's times I just recently got a report. I was horribly disappointed, heartbreakingly so. Had nothing to do with my egos, for somebody that I love dearly. And very disappointed for them. However, I have stopped and thought, whenever something don't go my way, or maybe you feel like you get the short end of the stick or whatever, I've stopped many a time and say, Booker, why does this bother you? Is it because your ego got bruised? Because if it is, Bubba, knock it off. Jesus was despised and rejected of men, and he drank the whole cup. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter if you're disappointed. Don't let disappointment drive you out of the God business. Don't let your sorrow drive you out of the God business. Amen. When it comes to pain, pain's not driving me out of the God business. Rejection is not driving me out of the God business. Trials are not driving me out of the God business. Traumas are not driving me out of the God business. Amen. Sickness is not driving me out. Poverty is not driving me out. Fame is not driving me out. Success is not driving me out. For goodness sake, don't let education drive you out of the God business. Friends are not driving me out. Family's not driving me out. In-laws are not driving me out. Outlaws are not driving me out. Children, parents, bosses, employees, saints, preachers, government, Republicans, Democrats, nothing's going to drive me out of the God business. My mind's made up. Nothing's running me out of the God business. Now, there is some business that I want to be run out of. And I want God to run it out of me. I would like him to run the stupid business out of me. I've said many times, I'm still working on 4 books. Started on 5, actually. But I got one that I've never written, I've never even started on. But I got many chapters ready. Many chapters, all of them interesting, every one of them embarrassing. The title of the book would be, It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time. And most anybody could write a book like that. Amen. But somewhere you got to say, no, no, no. And I want some business run out. I want stupid business run out of me. I want pettiness run out of me. I want to get out of the selfish business. I want to get out of the carnality business. I want to get out of the insecurity business. I want to get out of the hateful business. I want to get out of the small thinking, judgmental business. I want to get out of the faithless business. I want to get out of the goofy silliness business. But God, I'm not going to get out of the God business. I'm closer to being done than you think. This is why Paul, the same apostle, would say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There ain't nothing driving me out of the goddamns. He said, shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? Nakedness? No, no, no. Peril? No. Sword? As it is written, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But if that happens, it ain't getting us out of the God business. Hallelujah. He said, no, 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 no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Just to let you know, I really am serious. Musicians, come. Don't do nothing, just come. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, or height, or depth, or any other thing ever created will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There ain't nothing driving me out of the God business. Come here, son. Yeah. What's your name? Hadley, you got the Holy Ghost? I thought you did. Hadley, God wants you in his business. And I'm going to tell you how bad he wants you in his business. I'm going to tell you, listen to me. He has tilted the entire universe in your favor, because he wants you in his business. I'm going to tell you how much he wants you in his business. I wish his coat was bright red. Face the people. They're there. I know it's sweaty. That's the blood of Jesus, brother. He's covered you. He's drenched you. You hear me?
I'm going to let you breathe. Hallelujah.
I made mention this morning that if you did something wrong, if you sin, you don't say, I'm getting out of the God business. I'm going home. I've been stupid. No, no, no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. What you do is you run boldly to the throne of grace, that you can get mercy and find grace to help, because he's there. He's got mercy. Now, I told the story this morning about Brother Terry. I'm going to tell you another story about Brother Terry. I was in his house one day. He said, Booker! Yes, Brother Terry. Do you live by what you preach? I said, well, yeah, I give it my best shot. Don't give me that best shot. Do you or not? I said, I really try hard. He said, do you think Paul lived by what he preached? I said, oh, yes, I believe he gave it his best shot. Completely. He said, does God live by his doctrine? Does Jesus live by what he preached? I said, of course. You're positive. Of course. He said, well, Jesus said, the apostles came to him one day and said, must have been, you know, Simon Peter had a falling out with Andrew or Thomas or somebody. And he was feeling very spiritual. He said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven? Oh, he was spiritual. Well, some of us won't make it past one with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, no. No. Try 70 times seven in a day. So if your brother offends you 490 times in one day, and he comes to you and says, I'm really sorry. I repent. I was wrong. If he does that 490 times a day, you forgive him. If you do that day by day, there's 365 days in a year. If he keeps it up, that's 178,850 times a year. He said, Booker, does he live by his doctrine or not? I said, he lives by his doctrine. He said, if he didn't mean what he said, he shouldn't have put it in the Bible. What that means, this ain't eternal security. You got to repent. But if somebody does something to you, you forgive them. So you can get forgiveness. He said, Booker, he lives by his doctrine. He said, that's why I'm going to heaven. So he covers you with his blood. All you choir members. What do you call them? These people that were singing at the beginning of service. Quit praise singers. All you praise singers, come up here. Come on up here. Bring your robes with you. You see all these that are coming? Do you know what they are? No. You're angels. You surround this boy. Get around him. Get around him. You're surrounded. Don't look at me. Look at them. You are. He covers you with his blood. He's got a throne of grace. He obtained mercy. He's got innumerable company of angels round about you. I want and those preachers in this church. Give me four or five preachers in this church. Preacher, come on, get up here. Yeah. Four or five. If you get up, preach, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. He gives you ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word won't. He gives you his word. Hang on to that. He says, get that in your heart. He's got preachers that'll preach to you. You're covered with the blood. You're surrounded by angels. You pulled 178,000. 850 stunts, but you repent. You're going to be all right in a year. But you got to repent. And then you got ministry work with you and love you. Now, I would like Brother Sutton to come and stand right here. He is right now representing God. Look at him. That is your judge, dude. That's God. You're going to stand before God. Now, Brother Sutton, come on up here. See, I told somebody today, the difference between me and Brother Sutton, he can just leap up here like a gazelle. I take the steps and hang on to the guardrails. You are going to stand, yay, kneel before God. Have a kneel on your knees, boy. Both knees. Every knee shall bow. Now, Brother Sutton, go around this group. I'm gonna go down the stairs and you can leap like a gazelle. Come on down. Yeah. Watch him, watch him, watch him. Your judge is also your advocate. That means your judge is also your defense attorney. Your judge shed his blood for you, and he makes intercession with himself in your behalf. So now you can stand up because you got the best defense attorney in the universe. Hey, your judge is your defense attorney, and this ain't even Louisiana. Now, buddy, he loves you with an everlasting love. He that cometh to me, and that word cometh is like asketh, seeketh, knocketh. That means you ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking, seek and keep seeking. You're going to receive. He that cometh to me means you keep coming. You keep coming. If it's 490 times a day, you keep coming. Amen. If it's every day, you keep coming. You keep coming. Amen. You make up your mind. There ain't nothing driving me out of the God business. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So I would say the universe is tilted in your favor. And what you just have to make up your mind. Everybody. Duh. Ain't nobody driving me out of the God business. Nothing without, nothing within is driving me out of the... Let's all stand. I made up my mind. I done decided. He's loved me with an everlasting love. There ain't nothing driving me out of the God business. And if you have that beating down in your heart, a new determination. Think about all your problems. It don't matter. Think about everything's adverse. It don't matter. There ain't nothing driving me out of the God business. Ain't nothing. And maybe you'd like to step down here and just let God know and lift up your hands and say, Jesus, my mind is made up. There ain't nothing driving me out of the God business. Come on down. And if you're here and you've never yet repented or been baptized or received the Holy Ghost, God wants to give it to you tonight. There ain't nothing going to drive us out of the God business. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on, sir. I gotta praise. Daddy. I gotta praise.
Now I want everybody, close your eyes just a minute. Everybody under the sound of my voice, and everybody holding a microphone, including, there's God, there's problems. There's situations in your life. There's things you face at work. There's things you may face at home. There's things you may face in school. God only knows all things you're facing, maybe physical. God knows. God knows. Listen to me. He knows. Think about that or those right now. And right now, determine and set your face like flint. No, 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 no. It ain't driving me out of the God business. Amen. If I gotta crawl, I'll be here. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna, whoa, no, 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 no. My mind is made up. Nothing's gonna drive me out of the God business. Woo! Yes, yes, yes.
Well, no matter what the weapon is,
want somebody with a real problem tonight to turn to somebody by you and tell them, it doesn't matter the size of my problem. What matters is the size of my God. Hallelujah. You need to tell somebody, I've got the victory. My God, have you been to the cross? He beat all of your adversaries at the cross. Praise God. Before we go any further, I know they're waiting for us down at the gym, but you've got something in you that needs to come out on somebody else tonight. I want you to turn to somebody by you, lay your hands on them, and I want you to pray for them in the name of Jesus, and I want you to talk in tongues and let that Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel. I want you to let victory flow and anointing flow. And the blessing of God flow. And the strength of God flow. Hallelujah. Yay. By the name above every name. Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Clap your hands. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Let your battle cry fill the house tonight. Somebody lose a battle cry. Hey, God's on my side. God's on my side. Praise, 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 praise God. Praise God. We are encouraged tonight, Brother Booker. We're encouraged. We're reminded the fantastic promises of God in our life. The wonderful mercies and grace. All the good things. How he stands with us. We're reminded and we're encouraged tonight. Praise God. We have a date tonight down in the gym. Some nice people have made a little dinner for us. So we're going to take this victory and make our way down there and have some fellowship. Praise God. Kadarius, why don't you bless the meal for us tonight?
Mighty God, we thank you for this move of your spirit that you had in this place tonight. I pray that you touch the food for the nourishing our body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I know you want to fellowship, and I know you want to chatter, but just move it all down the hall and talk and walk. You can do that. Walk and talk and make your way. And you can talk all you want down there at the gym. God bless you. Wonderful music all day, musicians and praise singers. Great music. Wonderful worship leaders.